I'm really happy to be here. Take your Bible, would you? 2 Timothy chapter 1 in your Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm so thankful to always be at the church here with you all. And it's like coming home to us. And so thankful for your friendship and your love and just your kindness. My wife is on her way. Our week was a little off sync. I had a revival last week in North Carolina. We canceled that, which threw off my whole week because my daughter went to camp at the Wilds, and so trying to get her and get here. So she got home last night at 8 o'clock, and my wife waited to pick her up, so they're on the way. They'll be here later, and they'll get here as soon as they can, but she'll be joining me this week. Jake is here with me, and I know many of you, it's been a long time since Jake was here, but the years roll along. First time I ever came, I came by myself to a Westwood Baptist Church, and then I came back with my wife, and wanted her to meet y'all. And then we came back with Abigail, and later we came back with Abby and Josh, and then we came back, we had Matthew, and then we came back, we had Jake over there, and later we came back with Charity, and then we got to think, maybe we should stop coming, because every time we come back, we got a new baby. But what a blessing. In fact, I got my wife here. Let me, I think most of you know my sweetheart. Bethany and I have been married 29 years next month, and we've been on the road all 29 years, serving the Lord, preaching revivals. I will be this coming year in our 48th state, preaching a revival. That's Montana. And so I need to go to Vermont. You need to pray me about that. And I need to go to Hawaii. You need to pray a lot about that. And so if I can get Vermont and Hawaii in there, I'm preaching every state. I had a friend who was in North Dakota. And you know what he did? He had me come preach a revival for him. I about froze to death. It was the coldest meeting I've ever done as far as the weather. It snowed every day. It's negative degrees every day. Then he went to Northern Michigan, had me come preach a revival, and I about froze to death in Northern Michigan. Then he went to Hawaii for 4 years. Never had me. Now he's in Illinois, and he called me not long ago and asked me if I'd preach a revival, and I said, not on your life. And if you can't have me in Hawaii, I'm not preaching in Illinois. Can I get an amen here? I mean, that's just the way it is, don't you think? And then here's the young family. I got the kids up here. It's been a while since some of you have seen them all together. Dave and Abby here on the end, he's on staff at West Coast, and she works there at Lancaster Baptist Church. And then Jake, of course, is here with me. He's next to his sister. And then there's my Charity. She'll be joining us in a little bit. And, of course, my sweetheart and me. Joshua and Bethany are in Camarillo, California. He's a youth pastor, and they're expecting our first grandbaby in just 4 weeks. I'm excited about that. And very, very excited about that. I have a feeling my wife's not going to be with me much in the revivals this fall. And then Matthew and Kareth are literally in. Matthew's the youth pastor in Odenville, Alabama, and at New Life Baptist Church. And, of course, many of you have been praying for him, and a lot of you have asked me about him already today. He's about the same. His liver is functioning again, but we still haven't been able to diagnose exactly what he's dealing with. He has a specialist that he's meeting with next month, and hopefully we'll get that answer. So keep praying for him. I'm so grateful, and I sure love you all. I just was up this morning just thinking about how blessed I am, and I get to do what I do, and I've been here so many times. I'm so thankful for Pastor and his friendship to me. I got to tell you, I stepped outside this morning. How many of y'all noticed that it's a little humid today? I stepped outside this morning and said, Lord, I just want to take a moment and thank you for Westwood Baptist Church and Steve Proctor that I don't have to wear a tie today. And so I got spiritual right in the moment. I mean, just spirit-filled right out the door. And praise the Lord. What a joy to be here. Are you ready for God's Word? 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's begin in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day or night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears. Let's stop there a moment. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. something is wrong with Timothy. The Bible tells us right here there are tears and there are fears. Now, here's what's interesting. We don't know what's wrong with Timothy. The Bible doesn't give us the details. Are you like this? When I read the Bible, I want to know the details. Are you with me on that? Anybody here besides me? Like I read in Philippians 4 about Euodias and Syntyche. You ever read those verses? Euodias and Syntyche, the Bible says, that they weren't getting along, and Paul wrote to them a letter and said, y'all need to get this right and get along with each other because you're hurting the gospel. When I read that, I wanted to know, what were y'all doing? Or am I the only one like that? When I get to heaven, I'm going to be walking down Hallelujah Boulevard, and I'm going to see this lady, and she's going to say, hi, my name is Syntyche, and I'm going to say, what'd y'all do? Because the Bible left us hanging there, and that bothers me. Are y'all with me on that? I feel that way a little bit in these seven verses, because here is Timothy, and there are tears, and there are fears, and the Bible doesn't tell us why. We just know something is wrong. He's crying. We don't know why, and he's full of fears. We don't know why. We all know about fear, though, don't we? Don't we all know about that? I read recently about a passenger in a taxi, and he leaned over to ask the driver a question, and he gently tapped the driver on the shoulder to get his attention, and when he did, the driver screamed. He lost control of his cab, nearly hit a bus, drove up over a curb, and stopped just inches from a large plate glass window in a storefront. For a few moments, everything was silent in the cab, and then the driver said, are you okay? I'm so sorry, but you scared the daylights out of me. The badly shaken passenger apologized to the driver and said, I didn't realize that a mere tap on the shoulder could startle somebody so badly. The driver said, no, I'm the one who is sorry. He said, it's entirely my fault. He said, today is the first day I've ever driven a cab. And he said, for the last 25 years, I've driven a hearse. Now that would certainly scare the daylights out of you, wouldn't it? Most of us are familiar with fear, and some of them are just a little weird. Like I read somewhere that mysophobia is a fear of dirt. I think my wife has that fear because she wants the house cleaned at least once a week. Hydrophobia is a fear of water. Nyclophobia is the fear of darkness. Some have a fear of high places. Some have a fear of being buried alive. There's a fear of strangers. There's a fear of the dead. There's a fear of confined places. There's even one fear of the number 13, and I don't know why. We all know about fear. There's a healthy fear, isn't there? How many of y'all have children? You have children? There are some things a kid ought to be afraid of. Is that sensible? You don't put your hand on the stove if the eye is on. There ought to be a healthy fear there. There's even a godly fear. How many of y'all know about that? You know that? The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Of wisdom. So I am to have a fear of God. And you know that's not a shaking in my boots kind of fear. You know that, don't you? It's having such a reverence and an awe for God that it affects the way I live. Are you aware of that? When the Bible speaks about you and me having a fear of God, he means I should have such a reverence for God, such an awareness of God that it affects my day-to-day living. That's the fear of God. There's no doubt about it that there's another fear that is unhealthy. And that's what Paul addresses in verse 7. He says to Timothy here, in the midst of his tears, we really have no idea. Is there a sickness? Is there a church problem? Is it the persecution under the Roman government? We really have no idea what's going on that has brought tears to Timothy. And we don't know what the fears are caused by. But we do have this promise. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. How many of you know that God offers all of us something better than fear? Are you aware of that? He's given us the power of love and of a sound mind. In fact, I wrestled on how to title this sermon. And I really did. I thought, how do you preach a sermon like this and from this verse? And so there's the title. That's all I could come up with. Power, love, and a sound mind. That's a little elementary, but it's going to have to do, all right? And so let's just jump right in. There's no doubt about it that God is offering all of us something better than fear. And there are three gifts in the passage that God offers us. Catch this one. He offers us his presence, doesn't he? Did you notice that the fear here is a spirit? Now, I don't want to go farther than the Bible goes, but there's something spiritual about this. Do you catch that when he says the spirit of fear? This is not just a little haphazard thing. There's something spiritual going on here. You know that we have an enemy, don't you? And you know that one of the major tools of the enemy is fear. He's really good at that. And don't we live in an hour when there's a lot of fear around us? I read not long ago, just browsing through, I don't know, social media or something, and I stumbled across an article about, you know, there's probably going to be worldwide starvation in the next few years. Anybody read that besides me? It's a little startling, isn't it? Where are we headed as a country, as a world? What is going on politically in this world? What is going on in your family? What's going on in your health? There's a lot of fears that we deal with. And you know, the enemy, your enemy, is a master at turning the normal events of our life into a spiritual battle called fear. And that's what he's showing us here, that we don't have to have this defeat in our life because we do have the presence of God. And how many of you are aware of the fact that with his presence does come his power? Are you aware of that? You don't have to be afraid. See, yeah, you don't know what I got in the news this week. I know. You don't have to be afraid. Do you have the presence of God in your life or not? Is God real or not? Is this just something we do, or is God really real and really on the throne of the universe and really in charge? And if he is, then there's no fear in my life because I have his presence, and with his presence does come his power. He is with us, isn't he? You know Psalm 23? The Lord is, what's the next word? My. Say the word my. The Lord is my shepherd. Is that real in your life? Is he your shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In other words, I don't have any needs in my life. I'm in good hands because I have a good shepherd. Are y'all with me on that? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What does he do? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know what the Bible says? I will help me. Fear no evil. That's the truth, isn't it? You have God's presence in your life. There doesn't have to be fear in your life. He is real. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Do you believe that, brothers and sisters? How many of y'all know that there's something special about having somebody else there? You with me on that? I grew up, you know, in Tennessee, and we were poor as dirt. I didn't know it. I thought everybody was just like us. We had an outhouse when I was a little one, when I was young. How many of y'all did as well? Anybody here ever had one of those? I thought everybody was that way. I didn't mind the outhouse because I didn't know any different, but there was a part of the outhouse that I hated. And some of you know what I mean by this. I hated having to go to the bathroom at night. Any of y'all know what I mean by that? You know, I mean, you can look at me and tell I'm probably not afraid of much, but I was afraid of the dark. Isn't that sound weird to say? I was afraid of the dark. I hated having to go to the outhouse at night. It bothered me. It scared me. I was just a little guy. Now, you won't judge me, will you? You're a good group of people. You won't judge. This is church. You won't judge me, will you? You know how I was able to go to the bathroom at night as a boy? Don't you judge me. My mom went with me. Now, don't you judge me, because that's the truth. Now, she didn't go in, you all right? But she did go with me. I remember just thinking about that today. The night was so scary to me. It's dark out there. We were in the country. Jake and I last night, we had quite the travel day. Some of you know we had, you know, a tire problem, finally got that remedied, got on the road 3 hours delayed, and then between Evergreen, Alabama, and Birmingham, Alabama, about 100 miles, we literally was bumper-to-bumper traffic. I think the fastest we went was 25 miles an hour. How many of y'all know that'll help your prayer life? That'll test whether or not you are walking in the Spirit. And so we were delayed. We came in late last night, came off of I-55 last night, heading towards Poplar Bluff. And I was trying to cut off some time, went through the country a little bit. And, you know, it was dark out there. It's dark out there. There's not much out there in the country. And it's amazing how country people light up their houses at night. Jake and I, several houses last night. There's a lot of wasted electricity out there. And we were joking last night. Jake said, you know, it's probably axe murderers out here somewhere in the dark. And probably aliens. You know, I read somewhere recently that aliens are real, except that every time people see them, they also have a can of beer. And there just seems to be some truth to that. But it's dark out there. You know, there's fear of the unknown. I was scared to death in the night going out there by myself. And yet Mom went with me. And I say to you, church family, I don't know what's going on in your heart on a Sunday morning. We are uncertain about the future. Some of you are facing an uncertain diagnosis with your health situation. Some of you are a little uneasy about a family problem or a financial matter. But I will tell you that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. His presence is real. You know that He's real, don't you? And don't you know that He says you can cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Are y'all with me on this morning? We have His presence, so I don't have to fear, because with His presence comes His power. There's a second thing we have in this passage, and that is number two, we have His care. And with His care comes His love. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. You know that passage, casting all your care on Him, for He careth for you. Do you believe that? You say, I don't know what I'm going to do about this health crisis. I tell you what you could do. You could find a place to get on your knees and step into the presence of an almighty God and let His love fill you, because He cares about you and He knows exactly what you're going through. And I will tell you, there is nothing that sin has ever thrown at you, but that almighty God is able to overcome it and bring you through it with great glory and great power and great peace in your life. Isn't that shouting ground? And you say, yeah. But what if it takes my life? Listen, are you a child of God or not? Do y'all believe heaven is real or not? I mean, how do you scare us with heaven? Is this sensible? Is God real? Am I on my way to a real land? Is this thing called Christianity true in our life? Then, brothers and sisters, there's nothing to fear. If I live, there's a God in heaven that will take me by the hand and walk me through this world and pour out His grace and blessing and power and peace and love and joy in my life. And if I die, as D.L. Moody said, I will be more alive in that day than I ever have been here on earth. Is that not true? So we have His care, and with His care comes His love. Something is going on in Timothy's life. Tears and fears. And you know about that, don't you? For some of you, it's your family. And you'd give anything if your family were different. If your grandkids were, if this family situation could be healed. For some of you, it's a job or financial situation, and you don't know what to do about it, and you're on edge. You're uneasy. And for some of you, it is your health. Going through this situation with our Matthew, you know, he's 22. You're not supposed to face these kind of things when you're 22. You're young. Now, when you get older, you know, you kind of expect some things to start happening in your life. But even then, you don't like it. Am I right, older folks? Even then, you don't like it. There can be fears. What's going on? What's happening? What are we facing here? What's going to be the outcome of this? And yet, notice in 2 Timothy here, chapter 1, somebody cares for Timothy. Did you catch that? Somebody cares. Look in verse 2. To Timothy, my what? Timothy's love. There's a man in Timothy's life that cares about him. Paul says, Timothy, don't you know I love you? You're my dearly beloved son. Church, aren't we a family? One of the ways we face the cares of life is to rest in the love we have for one another. Isn't that right? See, I got a family. I've got brothers and sisters that care about me. And notice what he's doing. He not only lets Timothy know I love you, he lets Timothy know that that I remember you in my prayers night and day. You know what's going on? in some people, the greatest thing going on in some people's lives will be your prayers for them. Don't you underestimate that. So I don't know what to say. I don't know how to help them. I don't even know, should I go over there? My wife and I, some of you know us well enough to know that twice in our marriage we've lost babies. I don't mean a miscarriage, I mean a fetal death. So we're twice in our marriage we've gone to a maternity ward and had a baby that was not alive. You would know this, weren't you? Wouldn't you? Those were dark days. And I remember the first time that happened, we were in the middle of a revival, and the church we attended in Ohio at that time, there was a lot of folks in the church that had a lot of children. I mean, like 5 and 6 and 7 and 8, and there were a lot of families with 9 children or 8 children or even more. And how many of y'all know this? When you're in a church where there's a lot of families with a lot of children, the more children you have, the more you are in. You know what I mean by that? And so when we found out, this was like our, I think it was our 4th or 5th that was coming. When we found out number 5 is on the way, the people in our church were like cheering us on. You know, they're like, have 10. You know, really spiritual people have big families. It was that kind of spirit in our church. And so we found out we're having this baby and the people were excited. And we actually went to our home church for a revival. And we were in the middle of the revival when I announced, hey, church, tomorrow we're going to the doctor to find out if this baby's a boy or girl. We'll tell y'all tomorrow night. That was a big day. We got all the kids, and we got in this little room with the ultrasound technician. And my mother-in-law joined us. She's in there. And we know this ultrasound technician. She's the one that told us Abby was going to be a girl, and Josh was going to be a boy, and Matt was going to be a boy, and Jacob's going to be a boy. And now there's another one here on the way. And she turns on all of her equipment, and then she asks us to take the children out of the room. And we did, and that's when she said, look, I'm sorry, this baby no longer has a heartbeat. And you know, we were stunned. What do we do now? And she said, well, you can carry the baby till you go into labor and have the baby, or we could go ahead and induce labor and you can have the baby. And so we chose to do that. In fact, the next night was a revival service, and a friend of mine came and preached because I was in the hospital with Bethley. We were having a baby. I remember that night after that revival service, her dad came to the hospital. Dad Dennis is in heaven now, and he was not just my father-in-law, he was my best friend. I'm so thankful for the dad-in-law that God gave me, another dad in my life. Dad came to our room, and he walked in, and we had been there all day. Our hearts were heavy. We had cried till we couldn't cry anymore. You know what that's like, don't you? And he just stood by the bed. Well, Stevie didn't say a word. He just came in and stood there. He reached out and he calls my wife. Her name is Bethley. He called her Bettles. That was his name for her, Bettles. He just took her hand and he held it for the longest time in his. Just stood there and held it. He was not a man of huge emotion, but tears. It wasn't gushing, but there were some tears. He just stood there and kept holding her hand and patting her hand. And then I'll never forget when he did speak, this is all he said that night. He said, Bettles, I love you and always have and always will. That was it. Never forget those words. Can I say to you folks on the balcony something this morning? If you're going through a troubling, fearful time, you have a wonderful, loving, amazing, almighty, heavenly Father who very literally is saying to you today, I just want you to know something. I love you and always have and always will. Is that not incredible, church? If you're here on the main floor, fears in your life, always have. I love you, always have. Always. So somebody cares for Timothy, and God cares for Timothy. He's winning on both sides, isn't he? How can I overcome the fears of this world? I need his presence, because with his presence comes his power. I need his care, because with his care comes his love. And there's one more. Do you see it in the text? God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Number 3, here's a great gift. I have truth, and with his truth comes a sound mind. How many of y'all praise God for the word of God? I have a Bible and I can go to God's Word. In a world that is falling apart, aren't you thankful truth is available? When we don't know what to do and we don't know what to think and we don't know what to say and we don't know where to turn, brothers and sisters, you got a Bible. No wonder the enemy is trying so hard to get you so busy that you have no time for the Bible. No time to read it, no time to meditate on it, no time to have family devotions. You know why? Because the enemy wants to separate you from truth, because when you are separated from truth, I will tell you, the only result you can fight is a spirit of fear. But when you surround your life and immerse your life in truth, what you'll find is that with truth comes a sound mind. How many of y'all know this verse? As he thinketh in his heart, your thinking will change everything. And when you take the truth of God's word and you apply God's thinking to your situation, God's thinking to your heart, God's thinking to what's going on in your life, with that comes a sound mind. There's no doubt about it that his truth changes everything. How long has it been since you read it every day? How long has it been since you watched the news and thought, why am I so upset about this? I have a Bible and I know the end of the story. Jake and I were talking not long ago, just traveling together and talking about the condition of our world. Let me ask you a question. Are there a lot of political things happening that absolutely catch your attention and make you wonder, what in the world? Are you with me on that? And yet, what do? You go to the Bible and you're reading the Bible and you find out in the Bible that there's a God in heaven who's working in the affairs of this world. And you find out that there's coming a day that money is going to fail. And you find out that there's coming a day that things are going to get expensive. And you find out there's coming a day that there's going to be a one world leader. And there's coming a day where there's going to be all these heads of state getting together. You look around when you go to truth. You look around, you think, hey, maybe we're living in that time. Maybe we're living in the hour when God's truth is coming to absolute fruition right in front of us. You don't have to be afraid, brothers and sisters. The Bible tells you exactly what's going to happen. This world is going to get worse, and this world is going to fall apart, and yet there is an almighty God on the move, still working, still blessing, still saving, still changing lives, still helping us to raise families in our generation. I was reading in Jeremiah not long ago. And Jeremiah's a story. They're all in captivity, and they're slaves in a pagan land. They got a pagan king. It's pagan culture. The world is falling apart. Their whole world has been turned upside down. And God says this to Jeremiah. I think it's in Jeremiah 29 and verse 10. I may be wrong on the reference, but God says to Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah, I know they're living down there in a pagan land, and I know their world is turned upside down, and I know it's because of their sin that now they're having to reap what they've sown, but you tell my people, you give them this message and say to them, look, I know you're living down there. I know there's all kinds of fears. I know you do not know what to do, but I want to tell you what you ought to do. What you ought to do, he said, is you ought to build a house. And you ought to get married and have a family. And he said, you ought to raise your family for God in the midst of that pagan culture. He said, you know what you ought to do? He said, you ought to do everything you can in that pagan culture to help that pagan culture to be a better culture than it was before you got there. I read that and I thought, you know what, brothers and sisters, we don't have to be afraid. This world is upside down. This world is falling apart. There are so many things we don't know what to do about. But I tell you what we can do. We can build a house and we can get married and we can walk with God and we can raise a family and we can live a clean life and we can pray up a storm and we can go soul winning and we can get on our face before God and cry out to God to move in our generation and we can help this pagan world be a better world than it was before we got here. There is no reason for me and you to live in fear. Are you with me this morning? Fear is an interesting thing in the Bible. On the one hand, we're to fear God. And yet every time God shows up in the Bible, you almost always find these words accompanying God's presence in the Bible. Do you know them? You see them in Luke. Most of you know this passage. In the Gospel of Luke, there's a baby born in a stable in Bethlehem. Y'all know that story? And there's shepherds out in the fields, and the shepherds are keeping watch over their flocks by night. Y'all know this story? And angels appear in the sky. Y'all know that story in the balcony? Y'all know that story? And the angels say this, fear not. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And you compare that verse to something Jesus said in Matthew 10. Fear is an interesting thing in the Bible. Because in Matthew 10, Jesus makes this statement. He says, look, he said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So on the one hand, the Bible says, fear God. Then the Bible says, don't be full of fear. And then the Bible says, you better fear the one that can destroy your body and soul in hell. And yet, the night Jesus was born in Bethlehem to be the Savior of the world, the angels show up on the scene and says, you know what? You don't have to be afraid, because the Savior has come, and He can wash away your sins, and He can give you everlasting life. Nobody has to go to hell. Can you say amen to that? There's no reason to be afraid. Is this not an incredible, simple, simple little verse? God hasn't given you the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, of a sound mind. Zach Williams sings the song, Fear is a Liar. Many of you have heard that song. And in that song he says, fear will take your breath, stop you in your steps. He will rob you of your rest and steal your happiness. Cast your fear in the fire. Fear is a liar. When he told you you were trouble, you'll forever be alone. When he told you you should run away, you'll never find a home. When he told you you were dirty, and you should be ashamed. When he told you you could be the one that grace could never change. Remember, fear, he is a liar. I listened to that song this morning. I listened to that song this morning, and I thought about something that Zach Williams wrote in that song. He said, fear is a he. Fear, he is a liar. And didn't Jesus say that the devil is the father of lies? You know what, brothers and sisters? There's some of you in this room this morning, and in the trouble of this hour, the busyness of this world, as this world is in such a mess, as there's so many political problems, there's so many of us living in fear. But I've come to tell you that Zach Williams got that song right. Fear, he is a liar. And you don't have to live in fear. If you've walked into Westwood Baptist Church this morning, and you're not on your way to heaven, and you're not sure about eternity, you don't have to live in fear. Because a Savior named Jesus came and died for your sins and was buried and was raised from the dead. And because He died for your sins, you can have eternal life. And because He was raised from the dead, you can have spiritual life. You can be forgiven. Your sins can be washed away. And brothers and sisters, you're a child of God, and the Spirit of God lives inside of you, and God has given you His truth because He doesn't want you to live in fear. How many of you today should get on your knees and say, God, I've been living in fear. I've allowed fear to rule in my life, and I'm going to come to You today because I want Your presence, and I want Your care, and I want Your truth in my life. I want to walk out of Westwood Baptist Church today, and I want to walk out with victory over fear. Brothers and sisters, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's stand together for prayer, shall we?